Well, we're going to continue this morning our message series. I think I'm just going to, I mentioned last week, we're just going to call it warfare because it's more than just spiritual. It's warfare that protects us physically, emotionally, protects our families. There's a whole list of things that this does. And it's a study, our Sunday morning study is focusing on how we can overcome and be victorious in this battle against the devil and his schemes and his sieges and his surprises and how he comes against us. And it's really interesting as you study Scripture, how much in Scripture is there to enable us to be powerful. I'll tell you what, when I'm done with this, you're gonna go, I wish I'd always known this information. Some of this stuff is just mind-blowing. I have to give it to you in small doses, or else it would take 5 hours in one session, and then we wouldn't even be halfway done. But this is really powerful stuff. I hope you can make it every time. And I mentioned this last week. Every time we do this sermon series, there's something that holds us back. You know, this week, for me, my back started hurting out of the blue, like agonizing pain. Right? Last week, my printer wouldn't print the sermon. This week, and then did you notice all the parking spaces were full? Really? You think you're going to keep us from church just because you took our parking spaces? Come on, is that the best you can do? So there's going to be something that tries to keep you away. Be determined. Pray through it. Don't give up. I told you, if your car breaks down, call us. We'll give you a ride. If there's some other issue, we'll get you. Don't let yourself be kept away from this. It's going to be life-changing. I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about this morning. As a matter of fact, this is really one of the most powerful ways you can prevent demonic involvement in your life. And at the end of our study today, we're going to hear a miraculous testimony of what God has done in the life of someone who's in the room today. I can't wait. Telling you, such a powerful word of what God has done. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray in this moment that we would be free of distractions. We pray that if we need to turn off our cell phones, we would do that. We pray that there would not be anything that would come into this place in our hearts and our minds that would keep us from hearing what you have to say. So give us focused minds. Let our minds be focused on hearing your voice and what you have to say to us today. And we pray that you would give strength for those who are here that may be weary or not feeling well. May a strength rise up in them in this moment so that their bodies and their minds can give full attention to what you're going to say here today. And we pray that you would, in this moment together, give us new insight into the power that we have, our glorious inheritance as your children, and what immeasurable greatness of your power that you have towards those of us who believe. That it was so, the same power as Annette mentioned, that even raised Jesus from the dead. Give us deep insight into that. That wouldn't just be a nice idea, something we learned about, but it could become our reality. We pray together in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. So a couple other things we talked about last week. We talked about this scripture. Read it out loud with me. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We discussed the true nature of the devil, didn't we? He is a violent destroyer, and he wants to destroy you and your family and everything and everyone that is precious to you. He wants to take away your eternity. He wants you to spend eternity forever without God. He wants to devour you. We kind of go through life thinking, oh, there's this hidden spiritual world, but it doesn't really affect me all that much. That's not true. He wants to destroy everything that God does in your life. As a matter of fact, Revelation 12:12 says that he is filled with wrath. Listen to this scripture. Woe to the earth and the sea because the devil has gone down to you. Luke 10, Jesus saw Satan being cast down to earth. And it goes on to say he is filled with wrath because he knows his time is short. He's not some mildly upset being. He is infuriated at God. And how does he want to get to God? By destroying what is most precious to him. You, your children, your grandchildren. Everything that matters to you. I mean, what good does it to us if we make it to heaven, we barely get in, but everybody else we love doesn't get there? We have to understand this battle because we have a part. Sometimes the issue in seeing people come to know God is operating in this warfare, what has classically been called spiritual warfare, knowing how to operate in it, knowing our power and our authority, and going in and helping people get free from the demonic influence that the demons have over them. And here's the thing. The devil doesn't operate by himself. Scripture says in Ephesians 6:17 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers. By the way, God help us to stop fighting people, right? I mean, people aren't the boss, the neighbor, the annoying cousin, whoever it is. They're not our enemies, right? That's not who we wrestle against. Matter of fact, I have discovered in my life, maybe some of you have too, the people that annoy me the most are sometimes the ones God sends me on a mission to. Have you found that out? To love? Yeah. So, but who do we fight against? Now, catch this. There's a hierarchy to the demons. The devil has organized them, Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle against rulers and authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So there is a demonic army which is well organized. They have commanders and generals, and if you want to call them lieutenants or sergeants, they have platoons, they have foot soldiers. They are well organized. And I'm telling you, the demons in this area, they have your name. And they are after you. And so we are in a war. Whether we like it or not, we live in a war zone. And the devil, these demons would like it, I mentioned this last, they would love for us to just think that's not true, that the problem is really politicians, or violent video games, or the school system, or parents, all these horrible parents nowadays. You know, whatever we want to whine and complain about, that's not the problem. That's not who we're battling. And if all of that didn't get our attention, do we have your attention yet? The devil has a scheme. I imagine it as a file with your name on it and an individualized plan of how to get you off track, how to deceive you, how to afflict you, how to hurt you, and ultimately to destroy you. Wow, right? Are you a little bit afraid at this point? You don't need to be. Because here's the good news, the great news, is that we have God's power, His weapons. We operate in the authority of Jesus. We're going to do a whole series of sermons just on the authority we live in which to operate. And I can't encourage you enough, if you miss one of these sermons, they're going to build on one another. Make sure you go to the website and listen. And so we have God's power, His authority, His protection, and weapons for this war. And when we operate in all of this, we cannot be defeated. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Let me say that one more time. We cannot be defeated.
Amen.
Matter of fact, James 4:7, I love this image. That if we are living surrendered and obedient to God, and when the devil, the demon comes and you resist, it says he flees from you. He doesn't say he leaves you. I want you to get this image of you armored up, obedient to God, and the devil comes and tries to whisper in your ear, you're worthless. Please, I'm a child of God. And the devil just runs away scared from you. Don't you love that? I love it. Because he can't touch us when we're doing all that God has instructed us to do. So we're going to come to this next piece, which is vital. And I can't emphasize enough just how important this is. So much in your life hangs on this. Just hangs on it. And it's Ephesians 4:27. It says simply, do not give the devil a foothold. Now, we've talked about this before, but I mean, I have an idea what a foothold is, but footholds really aren't all that important to me in my life. I mean, maybe when I'm going up on a ladder, I make sure, you know, I've got a nice, good, firm, you know, grip on what I'm doing. But for the most part, I don't go through my day like, ooh, I got to be careful where I walk here. If you lived in Israel in the first century, footholds were vitally important. You walked everywhere. You know, when you were on a long journey, you were going up and over mountains and you didn't want to twist your ankle 3 days' journey from home because what were you going to do? You couldn't call the paramedics to come get you. You were in trouble. So I think for me, another way of looking at this is to look at it as an open door. Don't give demons that have a plan to deceive you an open door into your life. Let me ask it to you this way. How many of you went to bed last night and you just left all the doors in your house wide open? And you slept, you know, you didn't even think anything about it, just left the doors open. Anybody do that? Okay, anybody else? Anybody leave the doors? I mean, they are all the way open, lights on. Anybody? I'm not saying unlocked. I'm saying open. Anybody do that? Well, no, why would we do that? We wouldn't do that, would we? Because we want a locked door to keep people out, don't we? I'll never forget one time, and I've done this twice that I can remember. I came down in the morning, and I had left the garage door open all night. And there's no locked door from our garage into the house. So anybody could have come in during the night at any time and stolen from us or worse, right? On another occasion, you're going to start to think we're not very safe people. But Storm and I, when he was about 10, took off for a 24-hour camping trip to one of the state parks. And Nicole took off to go to a class in Philly. And when we got back, so 24 hours now, no one was home and the garage door was left open again for the whole time with nobody home. No protection whatsoever. We went through every nook and cranny of that house. We were so concerned. Now, we still haven't figured out whose fault it was. I really don't want to talk about it. There was a long discussion at that point about who was responsible for leaving the garage door open for all that time. But anyway, we wouldn't do that, right? So why in the world would we invite a creature into our life? Into the center of who we are, our hearts, our brains, to give them influence over us that is only bent on our destruction. But don't, Paul says to us, writes to, who is he writing to? The Ephesians. Don't give these demonic forces an opportunity to get into your life. That leads to another question here, which is a vital one. What creates this open door? And we're going to talk next week about two ways we leave the door open so a demon can just walk right into our lives. And the first is accepting a disobedience or a sin into our life. We know it's not what God wants, but we do it anyway on a regular basis. I know I'm not supposed to gossip, but I just love to gossip. Love a good piece of gossip. Right? I was talking to somebody a couple months ago, not anybody here in our church, and I was just and these were the exact words that came out of their mouth. I just love a good piece of gossip. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not used to people talking like that. Or how about being judgmental? That's one for us, right? We could go right down the list of these disobediences. And usually we all have some individual temptations and struggles. But not just, we're going to have temptations. That's not what this is. It's saying, I have decided that this, I want this, whatever the this is, more than I want what God wants. Oh, man, demons love that. When you're being disobedient, there's a scripture that says it's rebellion is like witchcraft. You're saying, come on in. And they don't want you to know they're in. And so they start messing with you. And you know that they can afflict your emotions. They can afflict your thinking. They can afflict you physically. It's all that they know what button to push on you. So we're going to talk about that one next week. This one, the one I want to focus on today, is the other gateway we leave open, the other foothold, the other door we open for them. And it's the door of ignoring our inner hurts and wounds and pains and guilts, our worries, our fears, our anxiety. All of those things leave the door open for a demon. Did you know that? There's a reason I did a month on healing your inner wounds before we got to this. Because demons love our hurts. They feed on them. They are attracted to them. You know, it is so sad to me that those who have nothing, they did nothing to deserve this, but they were sexually abused as a child. Demons often demonized them and attached to them. What did they do? They were just children. It just breaks my heart. But here's a true story I heard recently about an example of this. A woman grew up in a family that rarely had enough. There was always worry and anxiety in the home about how they were going to pay the bills, and the clothes were hand-me-downs, and it was a difficult environment. And she became a Christian. And the father wanted to heal that inner hurt of worry and fear in her life. But she pushed back. And she kept that part of her life from God. It was just, she said it was too painful. But those demons had a scheme, didn't they? They had a plan with her name on it. They went, as a little girl, she's grown up, they started working on it because they watched her family and they were thinking, this is how we can get to her someday if she doesn't let God heal her. And so now she's been manipulated and influenced on her, and her an idol in her life is money. And she has to store it up and have it, and it's her security, and it rivals her affections for God. And it defines who she is because she has to take care of herself. Can you see how demons can get in through that kind of an open door? It gives them a way to influence us. They latch on to that pain. And as I mentioned, that can actually lead to physical pain in our life. Emotional distress, mental deception and confusion, and the list goes on and on. These are all things that demons do. And it's why the Father is so committed to healing our inner pain. I had a conversation with a Christian this week about their inner critic. Anybody ever deal with an inner critic? And this inner critic was so powerful that it had convinced them that they were never good enough, ever. Never good enough. Can you imagine? How horrible. And I asked them, I said, can you remember a time in your life when you didn't have this critic saying this to you? And they said no. They couldn't remember a time. Even as a child, they had this voice inside of them that said, you're never good enough. Whatever you do is never good enough. What an open door. And yeah, we talked through about how there was this demonic influence whispering, you're worthless, you're nothing, you're trash, you're garbage at times in this person's mind and heart and head. Do you believe demons can do that and will do that? Yeah. And so the Father quietly calls to us. He says, let me heal you. Let me go to that deep place inside of you. Because here is the reality. When we're healed of those inner hurts and wounds, the demons are defeated. And we still might need some extra prayer even after the healing to deal with that. But their hold on us is weakened. So I want you to have clearly in your mind kind of two things. One is we kind of have this biblical understanding of demon possession. And we talk about how, and we see it in Scripture, of how demons have taken over the executive function of people and have this superhuman strength, the demon in that Jesus delivered, or the man that Jesus delivered with the legion of demons, and the demons, and he was in the cemetery, right? You remember the graveyard? That was what we would call classically possession. But Christians can still be influenced. We can still be afflicted with emotional duress and physical pain and whispers into our heart and mind, although we are protected from that idea of possession. If we allow this sin to marinate or these hurts to stay there, the demons work their scheme in our lives. So the Father is begging us, let me go where you don't want to go. Let me heal you. Let me help you. I love you. I care about you. You can trust me. And this is a tremendous promise he gives us, right? Of healing. And sometimes it just shows up and we're about to hear a testimony of where God just showed up and did some healing work. But other times, we need to talk to somebody that understands this rhythm of God's inner healing and how that works. And if you're working through this and you think, I need that, then call me. Let's talk about this. If you don't want to talk to me about it, which is fine, I'll put you in contact with somebody else that understands how this works that you can talk to. Are you connecting some dots in your mind and heart now? And seeing how maybe, as you look back, there was some demonic influence. I want you to catch that, even maybe now in your life. You know how, this is one of the ways you know you haven't had inner healing. You still have these triggers that are easily pushed. You know, for example, this is a little bit over the top, but somebody who was disciplined by their parents by being locked in a dark basement without any lights for hours on end was scared to death to go in a basement then, would never go in a basement. That's an inner hurt and wound, right? Does God want that person to be there? No. Can you see how a demon might mess with them? But when they're healed, they go down to the basement. When you're healed, That basement tiles hold no power over them anymore. Where before, you couldn't get them into a basement. Do you see? God doesn't want you to have those places in your life. So I'm going to invite Susie up here right now. Susie's our testimony person today. And I'm going to ask her a couple questions. So appreciate Susie taking the time to share with us today. They look a little scary, don't they? This is what I look at when I'm talking to you guys.
No, they don't. Oh. They look wonderful.
Yeah, now they do. That's because you're up here. They don't look wonderful when I'm up here. So I felt a little nudge to give Susie a call on Thursday. And it was the highlight of my day. Highlight of my day. Because of what God had done in her life. And so the backstory is Susie got a negative COVID test, although we're not quite sure if you really had COVID, are we?
No, I was vaccinated back in March, but I had a sinus infection. I went to the doctors. They get a COVID test that came back positive. I didn't have any symptoms, but I quarantined myself for 10 days anyway. Went back to the doctors. I was fine.
So here's what I think, Susie. I'm not saying this is from God.
I know.
But here's what I think. I think God gave you that positive COVID test because he wanted to do some work in your life. What do you think?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
I called her, and she's sharing all this with me, and I said, right, we need to ask each other the God questions. I said, so what's God been saying to you? Because I could have just gone down, are you okay? How are you doing? Do you need anything? But I said, and I'm so glad I did. I said, what's God been saying to you? And Susie said back to me that you've been reading the book of Psalms.
Yes. I've been reading the book of Psalms, and I wasn't like reading them in order. I would just like page through, and I would start reading one, and it meant something to me. And I would stop, and I would think about it. And some of them made me really happy, but some of them took me to a place where I didn't like to go. I was an abused child. My mother was an abusive alcoholic. And when I was little, she used to beat the crap out of me, to put it bluntly, and mentally and emotionally abuse me. My father worked in Philadelphia, so he didn't really know what was going on. And when he finally got a job back in Schuylkill County, he figured out what was going on because I was too afraid to say anything to him. I didn't know. I just thought that was the way it was. And I have a sister 14 months older, but my mother never picked on her. She only picked on me because I look like my dad. Can't help who you look like, right? But to make a long story short, my father divorced my mother, and I lived with my grandparents for 2 years. My dad was the first man in Schuylkill County to ever get custody of his children because of the way my mother was. But I lived with my grandparents, and I loved my grandfather so much, and I knew my grandfather loved me. And I needed that in my life because I never really felt loved, because I knew my mother never loved me, and she used to tell me all the time, I don't love you. I never wanted you.
Well, let me interrupt just for a second. So in the book, as you were reading the Psalms, right?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit took you back to some of these memories.
Yeah.
And reminded you that he had been there taking care of you, right?
Yes.
And how had he been taking care of you?
Well, I always felt that something was there for me. Somebody was there for me. I always felt it in my heart that, no, I wasn't this useless person that God put on earth. And I felt I really didn't know what love was, but I did feel it. Even though I didn't know, I felt there was a lot of good in life. But anyway...
And you mentioned to me that it was through your grandfather. He was one of the people you felt like God had sent into your life.
Oh my gosh, yes. I love my grandfather, and I knew he loved me. As a matter of fact, one time I accidentally slammed my younger brother's finger in the door, car door, and my dad started yelling at me, and my grandfather started yelling at him to stop yelling at me. And I was like, wow, somebody stood up for me. But anyway, I went to bed the one night.
Well, wait, before you get into that, let me make another comment here.
Okay.
So she's trapped in a quarantine she doesn't want to be in, right? And what does Susie do? She goes to Scripture. And what would have happened if Susie hadn't gone to Scripture? Maybe day after day she would have gotten more and more frustrated. I know I don't have COVID. I don't want to be here.
Depressed.
Just depressed, right? Being all alone. I think you and I are extroverts, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't be all by myself for 10 days. I think I would lose my mind.
And that
you know?
Knows.
But she took these steps towards God. And what did God do? He honored that. Now, he took her to a place she didn't necessarily want to go. But that's when God does, this is one of the ways, you know, you're experiencing inner healing, is God shows you you weren't alone. It's important, not just that you know it, but that you see it from God. You weren't alone. I did take care of you. God doesn't stop. He can't control people, right? People do awful things to people, but he doesn't abandon us. So he is always there somehow. And if you have a painful experience in your life and your question is, I don't know where God was, ask him. God, show me where you were in that time. And so Susie was sharing with me these memories of how God showed up and took care of her through this time. And then, we're not even to the best part yet. Then there was a dream. You know about this, Annette?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell them about the dream.
I had a dream that I was talking to my grandfather. And I was like, overjoyed. I'm like, oh my God, Pop, I'm so happy to see you. And he was talking to me. And he was saying to me, oh, Susan, I love you so much. I love you so much. And I felt this overwhelming love in my heart. And he said something to me I quite didn't understand at the time. He said, the root is cut.
Oh.
And I didn't tell you that
no,
part.
No, he didn't.
He said, the root is cut, and I didn't quite understand it. Now, thinking about it, I know what he meant.
What did he mean?
He meant that I could let go of that demon.
Yeah.
I could let go of that demon that I don't need to think back and feel hurt. That demon that was in my life is gone.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Is that amen. Right? Is that what?
Yeah. Well, it could be. You have to tell me what's
yeah.
all
it's like, well,
if that's
what
you feel like
I
God
felt.
Said, amen. Amen. It's true.
He said the
he
root.
He set you free.
He said the root is cut.
Amen.
That's exact words.
Yeah.
And I woke up and I was like, no, I don't want to wake up. I don't want to wake up. Because I felt this overwhelming sense of love, and I felt this burning in my chest. And I woke up, and it wasn't like a physical pain burning, but like a spiritual burning in my chest. And I was like, no, I don't want to wake up. I want to go back to that dream. I want to go back to that dream. But it was just unbelievable. And then when I talked to Pastor Storm and tell him about it, he said that my grandfather didn't come to me in a dream, that it was the Lord. And I'm like, huh? You mean I was talking, that the Lord was talking to me saying that he loved me? And that's why I had that burning feeling. And I'll never, ever forget it. And I never really talk about my past because it was something I always was ashamed of and embarrassed about.
You're embarrassed, you're not there, right?
Right. And, you know, thought, well, people hold something against me because my mother was like that. But now I could talk about it. That root is cut.
One more thing. So she's sharing all this with me. And she says, I had a burning inside of me. Does that remind anybody of a scripture? Which one? Remember the road to Emmaus? Two disciples walking with Jesus. And they said in Luke 24:32, after Jesus left, were not our hearts burning within us? This is the exact language she used. And we know when people talk like that, it can be a sign of God's inner healing. The inner burning of hearts within us. Hallelujah! Woo!
Yay for COVID.
Wait a second. God, no, you can go ahead. God can use all things for good.
Amen.
Romans 8:28. Wait a second. Even COVID?
Anything.
Even anything. Amen. Did that story give you hope? That's a story we need to tell people. So I don't know what it is in your life. But I'm going to say this, as much as God loves Susie, and I'm telling you, he loves Susie, we can't even understand how much he loves Susie. That's how much he loves her. He doesn't love her more than he loves you. If he'll do that for Susie, he'll do it for you. And it might be a different process, and you might not get a dream, and it might work out differently, but you don't have to have this wide open door in your life of this hurt. So if you don't know what to do about it, I wish I could pray a magic prayer over everyone and your hurts would be all healed, inner hurts, but that's not how it works. But here's a prayer you can pray every day. Say, name the hurt and ask God to heal it. Every day, God, show me the path to healing. And if he nudges you to call me, don't push back. Don't go, I don't want to talk about it. No. Because that disobedience, right? What does that do? Now you already have an open door. Now you're opening a window. Don't do that. God, show me the path to healing. How I want you to heal this part of my life. And maybe he'll just do it. He'll give you a week of quarantine and do it there. Hey, I'll take a week of quarantine to get my inner healing. What about you? Or maybe it's going to be through, there's lots of ways, paths to this inner healing. Don't suffer. This is a powerful weapon of defeating the enemy he wants us to have. That's why he heals the brokenhearted and bandaged up. You know all the scriptures we did through this series. I could go on and on and on. This promise of inner healing God has for us. It's rock solid. You can count on it in your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for what you did in Susie's life. We join her in celebrating your goodness to her, and so hopeful. It gives us such promise and hope for our lives also. And Father, we pray that the scales would be taken off of our minds and the parts of the darkness we think we have to manage and control in our lives, that you would help us to give it to you and to name it and to ask you to heal it and lead us into this inner healing. And so for everyone here that needs healing from a deep hurt, a trauma, a pain that has left them wounded. Pray for them today. I pray that you would give them the courage, the strength, as they're strong in you, to name that in prayer with you every day, and that you would bring healing to them. Give them the path that you have for their inner healing, God. If it's a fear or an anxiety or a worry, oh God, how many times in the Bible have you told us, fear not, be anxious for nothing. This demons love our fear. In Jesus' name, set your people free. Help them. Help those who are here to recognize that there's something different you have for them. A wholeness maybe they've never experienced before, and to be healed of that. Maybe there's someone here that is living with guilt that they just can't shake free from. Maybe they've done something that they don't feel like they can be forgiven of, God. In Jesus' name, you want to heal even that. You don't want us to live in guilt. So help them to name that and go through this process of being healed of that guilt in your name, Jesus. Whatever it may be in our lives, you're a kind and gentle Father who wants to take care of us and heal us. We pray that you would do that, God. And that as you do it in us, we would have this testimony to share with others who are bent up with worry or stress or anxiety, whatever it may be. We pray this for one another together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.